Chief Trosper, what are your other responsibilities as the heir of this tradition for your tribe? What are the other ritual responsibilities you have, or do people come to you for also advice regarding spiritual matters within the tribe?
The major ceremony, of course, is our annual Sundance,
yes,
which is a ceremony where we fast for 3 days and three nights, and we go without food and we go without water.
Mm-hmm.
We go into the lodge and we stay in the lodge. There are other tribes that do things a little bit different. You know, they're able to leave the lodge, and then some tribes are able to drink something after a sweat. Or, you know, we don't do that. We go into the lodge, we stay there for those 3 days and those three nights. We don't drink any water or eat any food. And there are a lot of things that happen. When you go without food and without water, the first full day after you've passed that, it's kind of like all those impurities have left your body. And it's like you're entering a new realm.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to explain, but it's like you're become a different person. And I think the reason for that is that your body, when you're without food and without water, you become real humble.
Mm-hmm.
You realize the importance of things, small things. You realize how dependent you are upon the Creator. And because of the humbleness that you feel, and the humbleness that you have, and the way that you approach the Creator, His blessings are able to come to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're able to receive those things. When you go through that experience, there's a battle that goes on. And our old people would honor the sun dancers the same way that they would honor a veteran. When a warrior went out, he had to show bravery, and he fought the enemy. And he came back and he was held in high esteem because of his bravery and because of the things he accomplished. And it's the same way with the sun dancer, because that there is a battle, but it's a battle within.
Mm-hmm.
And you're physical self is saying, I want food, I want water, I want comforts of home, you know, I want my family, I want, but the spiritual side is saying that in order for me to come closer to the Creator,
mm-hmm,
I need to be away from the outside world, I need to stay here in this lodge, I need to go without the food and go without the water to show my sincerity and show my humility and show my faith. And there's that constant struggle and that battle that is going on between the physical and the spiritual.
Yes.
So the spiritual side, when you complete the Sundance, it's victorious.
Mm-hmm.
And you're able to show that you had that self-control, that you were able to be disciplined enough. When you're in there, you just want to run out of the lodge and find water. You know, when it's getting close to the end of the ceremony, you want things to move so quickly. You want it to end fast.
Mm-hmm.
You need to restrain yourself. You need to keep control and maintain and not act like that or do all kinds of things that somebody would do. Somebody might be getting angry because things are being prolonged,
mm-hmm,
or maybe they perceive it being prolonged because, you know, we want our water now.
Yes.
So quit messing around, quit doing this, quit doing that, you know, and they might get angry about that. Well, you need to have that self-control. And so you're able to prove not only to yourself, but to your community that you have that discipline by going through something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and it's difficult. You know, some of our dancers that make the vow to go into the ceremony are pretty young.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this year we had some real old people in there. One guy was in his 70s, and then we had clear down to a 15-year-old. I don't know if there was anybody younger than that this year.
Mm-hmm.
I know in the past there's been young men that have gone in at age 11. And so from, you know, around about that age, 11, all the way up to 70s, 80s. And, you know, my great-grandfather danced into his 90s. But it's a difficult thing,
mm-hmm,
to go through. That's the major ceremony that we have, the Sundance. For us, the Sundance is much more than just somebody going in for themselves,
mm-hmm,
or prayers for their family, or just prayers for their own tribe. It's,
mm-hmm,
for the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
We believe at the moment that we're having that ceremony, that because of the way that the ceremony was brought to us, And the teachings that were given to Yellow Hand, the first person that put up the Sundance, when the buffalo came to him, he told him he was sent by the Creator.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, these are the reasons why they're so powerful, why the ceremony is so powerful, and why it's going to benefit your people. And he taught him all the songs, he taught him how to set up the lodge, he taught him everything. It has a meaning in there and represents a different part of the universe. The 12 poles, the 12 months, everything in there, he said, has a representation. And everything is lined up straight with where the sun comes over, directly over the horizon. The middle of the doorway is
mm-hmm.
is in line with that. The center pole, and the chief's teepee
mm-hmm.
are all in a straight line with that, because that medicine and that power comes through
mm-hmm.
through there. And the ceremony itself, when we were taught that at that during those 3 days that those men make that vow to come and fast and to pray, that's the center of the universe at that moment, and that those prayers and that power and medicine will come through that center pole, and that it's a renewal not only for our individual selves or for our families or for our tribe, but for the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
And that if it weren't for us praying, that yeah, there would be other people praying, but we're taking a big chance on whether or not they are going to or not.
Yes.
But if we do it, then we know that things will, those blessings will continue to come, whether somebody's following
yes.
the Creator's way or not, but those blessings will still be coming to us here on earth,
mm.
and that we'll still have that help, and we'll still have His blessings with us. But if we don't do that, we don't know what's going to happen.
Mm. And is there, according to Indian wisdom, a special need nowadays for the world to have these prayers and this contact with heaven? I remember having read and heard about the Indians speaking about these later times or these modern times. Is it considered that there is a special need nowadays for this kind of ritual?
Yeah. You know, there are a lot of prophecies and a lot of teachings about the way that things will be, you know, and talking about the days that we're living in today and
mm-hmm.
how things are going to be and how important it is for us to have these ceremonies
mm-hmm.
and to keep these,
mm-hmm.
you know, to continue to practice our ceremonies and, you know, and not to change them, you know,
yes.
to keep them the way that they were given to us by the Creator.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do our best when those things are taught and passed. Every time that we have a ceremony, we tell the same stories over so that the next generation will have heard them so many times that they're not going to forget. That they'll know. And, you know, you look at the way that things are in today's society, and we really do need, you know, we're getting so far away from our spiritual beliefs
mm-hmm.
and that connectedness to the Creator,
mm-hmm.
and that through these ceremonies we're able to renew that. And at least there's a place for people that believe or that want to get closer to the Creator. You
mm-hmm.
know, there's a way to do that. You know, when you were asking about the different
mm-hmm.
ceremonies that I lead, that's the major one, the Sundance.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, we have our monthly ceremonies, which are called the bundle opening ceremonies, or mm-hmm. our people will refer to them as the prayer meeting. And my great-grandfather had told us that the Sundance isn't just one time a year, you know, that we come together and we pray just only that one time a year. He said every full moon, he said, that's when the medicine's the strongest. And he said, you set out the altar,
mm-hmm.
which is made of a hide. There are different medicine fathers that are represented in that altar, and they have spiritual significance. They were given special medicine or special powers, and we utilize those through that ceremony. And so the elk is one of them, and so we have an elk hide that is laid out that the altar is set on.
Mm-hmm.
The buffalo skull, because he's one of our medicine fathers and the one that really brought the Sundance to our people, is represented there. Seven arrows, which is a medicine doll that represents the little people that live in the mountains there in our area.
Mm-hmm.
And they were given special medicine and special power, and seven arrows is something that's really sacred and set up on the altar. It's not actually seven arrows, but That's the name of this little person.
Oh, right.
And the medicine doll represents him.
Mm-hmm.
All of the things that are on there, they represent our different medicine fathers. And there's a certain way that the altar is set up. My grandfather had told us that during the full moon, that's when the medicine is the strongest, to set the altar up. And if there's a family that's in need and they want to sponsor the ceremony, then they can sponsor it. And then we bless the people just the same way that we would if we were in the Sundance Lodge.
Mm-hmm.
We bless them there mm-hmm. like that. When people have prayers or they have need, then they can bring a tobacco to the altar
mm-hmm.
and make an offering and ask for prayers.
Yes.
And then they make this offering and give it to you and you pray. That's all a part of the ceremony, the bundle opening ceremony, which like I said, happens once a month. And he said that all the medicine things that belong to our medicine bundles are placed on the altar, and those things are renewed.
Mm-hmm.
That power is strengthened by having these monthly bundle opening ceremonies. If no family asks for a ceremony to be put up, then we still bring those things out and we still have a ceremony so that those things can be strengthened.
Mm-hmm.
Just myself.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do that. So the bundle opening ceremony happens once a month, and then there's the sweat lodge ceremony that happens whenever it's requested.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe once, you know, a week, uh-huh. somebody will request for a sweat lodge. On average, we have them about once a week. Sometimes there's been, you know, there have been times where people have asked for one every single day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
So we did 7 days in one week, which was really tough. And then there are times where, you know, we'll go 3-4 weeks and nobody's called for one, which is good too. But we have the sweat lodge, and it's a purification. But that's, you know, kind of on a regular basis. We also have our daily prayer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the morning as the sun comes up, we offer our prayers. We make an offering with the tobacco, and we bless ourselves with water.
Mm-hmm. This is an individual
prayer? And that's mm-hmm. that's individual, and mm-hmm. it's on a daily basis, but it's a responsibility
mm-hmm.
you know, that we have. And then, you know, of course, we have, I think that's, you know, white people refer to it as like a vision quest, but I don't.
Yes.
I never referred to it as that. You know, the responsibility for every young man to start, you know, around about age 12 or so, is that they're supposed to go out and fast,
mm-hmm.
you know, away from everybody, usually in the mountains. There's
mm-hmm.
certain sacred places that certain families will kind of gravitate, kind of go to. They've always, that's been their tradition within their family, to go to this certain area.
Mm-hmm.
And so they go to these areas and they'll fast. And they can make a vow if they want to fast for 1 day, 2 days, or 3 days. It's not like the Sundance, which is set.
Yes.
It's 3 days. They can make a vow for however long they want to fast.
And what would you think is a better way of translating this vision quest?
I don't know. People just say that they need to go out and they need to go and fast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go to the mountains and fast.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard people make the reference to say they're going to put somebody out on the hill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just make her, and we know what they're talking about.
Yes.
But it might not be a hill. You know,
yes.
It's usually the mountains for
mm-hmm.
us. You know, to go and to fast,
mm-hmm.
you know, to make that sacrifice.
And fasting is an essential part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other thing is that there are certain ceremonies that people will ask you then to conduct as well, you
mm-hmm.
know, like sometimes funeral ceremonies,
oh, yes.
or people will ask for a wedding ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there might be somebody in the hospital that's sick, and they might ask you to come and pray for that person.
Mm-hmm.
Or somebody might be having troubles, you know, and they just want you to talk to them,
yes.
you know, and pray for them so that they can help work out their marital problems or problems
mm-hmm.
with a teenager or
mm-hmm.
whatever it might be.
Yes.
So there is a lot of responsibilities
mm-hmm.
that you get asked to do,
mm-hmm.
Aside from the ceremonies that you have to run.
Yes.
There are a lot of other things that people will ask you to
mm-hmm.
help with
mm-hmm.
as well.
Do you think that there are particular aspects of the modern world and modern society that can help people in their spiritual way, that can be taken advantage of? And the opposite also, what would you think are those aspects of the modern civilization that are more dangerous for someone who is on a spiritual path?
I think there are definitely a lot of things that happen in the world that could lead somebody away from spirituality, or lead somebody away from the Creator. And you know, we look at different things and kind of the influence that they might have, you know, maybe in particular to the younger people. You know, when you're trying to teach the younger people good things, or teach them about our culture or Indian ways, and then you look at the things that are competing with that, that might lead them away from those types of things. And you know, a lot of times music could be an influence in their young lives.
Yes.
Things that they see on television.
Yes.
They might want to be a part of the same thing, you know, they want to be more of the American way of life, or yes, way of living, and so then they think that's better than their traditional way, and so then they would see those things on TV and try to emulate those kinds of activities.
Yes.
And you know, and I see that in even within our own community. I mean, I could say TV in general, I could say the internet in general, or I could say music in general, but specifically within the experience within our own community, I see that there are young people that hear music, that see things on the internet, that see things on TV, and they think that living the way that gangsters live, kind of a romanticized view of that kind of life, when you hear it in music and then you see it on TV and you see the things that are happening through the internet, you know, that there are youth that would rather than live our traditional way or make the sacrifice to go into the Sundance, would rather dress like a gangster and listen to the music that gangsters listen to and do the things that are considered brave among gangs. And to me, it's a real negative influence on our young people. But I think that there are things in all of our lives that could lead us away from the Creator, yes, and lead us away from spirituality. Not just only, you know, those influences that pull young people away, but each of us, as adults, even can be pulled away by things in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Interfere with that connectedness that we should have with the Creator.
I wonder if there are, in regard to nature and the opportunities of traveling nowadays, that has become so much easier than in former times.
Yeah.
Would that be a positive thing, that people have the opportunity to go and visit natural wonders in other places?
I think so. You know, we look at even with tribe to tribe, you know, it's really facilitated the ability to be able to, a long time ago, it was a huge commitment to be able to go to another tribe to participate in the Sundance,
yes,
with another tribe that, you know, the Sundance might be similar to your tribe Sundance, and to be able to go there would have been really tough. But today, because of the ability to be able to travel, it has facilitated that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I can see some good things also. You know, the internet is a good example for, I mean, some spreading negative or spreading bad, but then also through the internet we could find people that believe the way that we believe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's easier to go onto the internet and find groups of people that think the same way that you think,
yes,
or believe the same way that you believe, and be able to connect with them.
Yes.
Which could help strengthen your own prayers and help strengthen their prayers.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's some good things that can happen, you know, through that as well. And then even on television, I seen a documentary one time about a ceremonial leader in Canada, and his teachings and his beliefs and his way of prayer was real similar to ours. It was really good to see others that are praying and still have that belief, you know, and that have that same strength and resolve to stay close to the Creator that we do.
Mm-hmm.
And same with music. I hear all of this music that gangsters listen to, people that belong to gangs that listen to that, and those words are real influential in getting them to do negative things. But then, you know, we also have our our Indian music on CDs now
mm-hmm.
that we never had before. And so now we're able to listen to, through CDs and through modern technology, we're able to listen to our own music.
Yes.
And there's the ability to make sure that those songs continue on. Whereas in the past, if they weren't recorded, if that person that knew those songs died and didn't pass that on, then there was the possibility of losing
mm-hmm.
that. But today, because we're able to record these things, you know, that there's been some positive things
mm-hmm.
in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't say that these things have only been negative, because they have, they're not.
Yeah.
There's some good things and positive mm-hmm. things that can help us as well.